don't do this except at home, and then it's a whole nother setup. So to build up energetic strength, you need to push. You need to have something to fight against. You need resistance. Who here has done the rub your hands together and form a ball of energy? Who has not? Okay. So you've probably done this where you rub your hands together to warm up the energetic flow. No?
No, I'm saying I don't think it's recording. It's not moving.
Why is it not recording?
Oh, it looks like it's recording.
Yeah, it is. The display it stopped moving, but it's still recording.
Okay.
Let me adjust the Let me adjust the scale of motion. Yep, that's better.
So, with that exercise, you rub your hands together, which gives you physical heat. It also gives you the friction of your etheric bodies and subtle bodies moving against each other. So you build up energy, you make a little ball, and you can form that ball of energy, and you feel it has heft, it has weight, etc., right? Okay. And if anybody wants to try this, we'll be able to do it in a moment. And it works best when you pair off. But basically, you and a partner, you build up energy in your hands, you make those little two balls, and then you push hands against each other. Not physically touching, but basically pushing your energy against their energy. Because then you're actually working your subtle body, your energies against that person's energy in a way that there is a pushback or resistance. Get the idea? Now, because you're not 12-year-olds, because I've been in class where this has turned into a whole nother out of control thing where people are standing and striking poses and pushing each other's energy, and you know, it goes very Super Saiyan after a while. Just not what we're trying for today. So the idea is simply to build up energy and then push. And also communicate with the person. Now, once you get the basic of it done, of creating that ball of energy and pushing against resistance with each other, then you start doing it the off ways. Because it's one thing to be pushing straight on, at which point, instead of that, put up your shield and start pressing, not hand to hand, but against each other's shield or body. You get the idea? Because otherwise, you're thinking about only pushing with your hands when actually it's your whole subtle body that needs to be engaged. You get the idea? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give a clue about how to do it on your lonesome if you have to, and then we'll see about doing the exercise. Who here works with rocks, likes crystals and stones, etc.? Yay! So thou shalt take a pretty shiny. And you will pour energy into it, and you will tone, and you will pour energy until about, you know, I don't know, let's say it's a quartz point or a quartz cluster, until it looks to you like there is a gusher of energy coming off of that point. Great. Then you will put that gushing energized crystal on the counter or on a shelf, and you will pretend it's the partner that you're pushing against, because it's not quite as good, but you will have something that has energy flowing out of it that you can push against. You get the idea? Mm-hmm. By the way, this is also a good way to begin to test and improve your shields in general, because if you're properly shielded, you should feel the pressure, but you should not feel it hitting you. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. There are other methods to do this, but it all comes down to thinking about the idea of to build strength, you need to have something to press, push, pull against. Pull is also a good one too. But there's more potential for hurting each other doing that one. So we'll do push. Get the idea? Mm-hmm. Why would it be more dangerous if you're doing pulling?
Big heads.
Well, yeah, that I've actually seen that happen.
From their energy,
yeah.
From their body.
Yes.
Yes.
Make a hole in their aura.
If you do it wrong.
Or you could do, you could
well,
make a hole
you could
in somebody's
find
door
people who do that naturally. You know, they're the people you can't stand next to for more than 5 minutes.
By the way.
And they're unrealized vampires, but so can they pull energy. They make the best healers if they know
if
who
they know
they
how
are.
To flip, if they know how to flip it. Mm. But the thing is, but that's a little bit more advanced because that's also, once again, a way to actually develop your shields and strengthen those better as well. So, who wants to try to do the make holes of energy and push with each other? Yeah, bell in the background.
So more cowbell.
More cowbell. So, ideally, in the best of all possible worlds, you are either seated, standing, or close enough so that it's not terribly uncomfortable. There you go. So, those of you that wish to do it, arrange yourselves so you may do so. Also, if you don't feel like doing it this minute, you can observe and see what you feel, see, sense energetically going on, which is also a valuable thing. Now, because I think it works better, in addition to this hand-rubbing thing, I always like to actually do a tone. So you might want to own when you separate your hands to create the ball of energy as well. Include more
cold.
Very cold.
I rock.
Remember, you're going to be pushing. And we can swap off to make sure everybody who wants to gets a chance to do it. And as you're pushing, remember to breathe and pull in more energy as you're pushing. Let it flow through. Ideally, you're taking in energy from the universe and letting it flow out of your hands at the same rate so that you're not diminished.
Yeah. More lava.
Are your hands warm?
Yes. They got warmer the more I pushed it, the more she could
wow. 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 You know, yeah. More like it's providing my body.
Right? Kind of how
much
she's
going to
just
so it's sort of all falls more to you. That's not right.
I just do that. Just tell people to do that. Just get things started. Normally, when I do it, I don't even envision the ball. I just see two pressures coming out of the air. Chakra points in the middle of my strong.
Now you feel that?
What?
You got a good connection. You got to get this back.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And then if you're feeling comfortable with what you're doing, you can attempt to shield up and push on each other's auric eggs rather than just hand to hand.
Okay.
So see, that's very different, even though I'm sure, like, very close and the same thing.
The only place I require that you not attempt, do not go for somebody's throat. Do not go for the top of your heads.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
a zombie.
It's worn down there.
What?
It's
worn down
there.
Shield.
All
right.
I know that you can push.
I won't push that part.
Shield. Okay. You go for the crown, then you can dampen their capacity to bring in energy. And that's not useful for this exercise.
That
would be a lovely thing.
She has two or three.
So, you do enough.
You're stubborn.
Yeah.
My back does it. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
One of the other things about doing these kinds of exercises is as you do them, in the same way that when you do physical activity, you will begin to develop more confidence in your capacity. So if you don't trust that you can do by having experienced it, you're more attentive. think about all the different exercise or exploratory things where people challenge themselves physically so they come out believing in their own capacities more so. You actually have to put these things to a test to know that you have them.
Interesting.
Like, when I was doing energy work with Dan, she had kind of like a warm triple. Whereas I have more of like warm slime that didn't quite have the right shape, and I'm just kind of like,
dog energy!
Yes, obviously. Okay, like a defensive wall. Right? Like even your projective energy, it's always it's like being able to shield instead of being yeah, we were at this point just doing
So, who's feeling like they need something a little bit more intense?
Obviously. Triple Harry! Carry the Lord!
So, take turns. Push energy through this. Very clearly. Push energy through this.
Okay, what is it?
No.
It
looks like an iron
stone.
I'll tell you the name after it's done.
I'm not trying to direct it to anyone.
Push energy with that. That will give you a little bit more focus when you're pushing the energy.
Push it right.
And point out towards the place that you're pushing towards.
You're directing the energy through the crystal at something. So.
Oh, I'm trying not to win it. All
right.
No.
Is it just upflowing or to something?
So, for example,
my guys are on, or I'm like pointing out.
Your laser beam.
Okay, laser beam, heal my spot.
Laser beam.
So the point. These particular crystals can be used for a variety of things, but if you are using a crystal or a magical tool, it allows you to focus your energy more strongly. And this is in the same way that I said you can use the crystal as a substitute for not having a partner to do this work. Well, if you have tools or crystals, it takes whatever you have increases it or focuses it, so it makes it a little bit more challenging to push against. These particular ones, if you look it up under New Agey stuff, it's called Aurolite. If you look it up under more magical stuff, sometimes it's called blood amethyst. But it's a mixture of a variety of different minerals in it.
Isn't it Aurolite 23?
That's one of the names for it as well, because some of them, not all, they have anywhere between 11 and 30 different minerals mixed into the same crystal.
These particular crystals come from Thunder Bay, Quebec, and they were harvested by the gentleman we bought them from.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Hmm? The point of
it.
Yeah, it's like a...
Now it is.
Now it is.
Yeah, he got them a couple of years before that.
Now, where do you get such large things?
Festival.
That was at a festival. So that you might want, if you find that you're also trading with somebody who is mismatched in terms of your capacities, there's a way to equalize things as well.
And that's why some of us carry stones, because when you're not so conscious of those shields on your own, you got the stone.
Helping you out.
Now, can you do the same thing with a wand of iron or...
Any magical tool can be used to focus your energy to greater effect. But it is always valuable to be able to use just what you have with you. But here's the thing. Work with what you have just in your own physicality first, and then add on things in the same way that there's a value in having exercise equipment, but there's also a value in simply doing it with your own body. Make sense?
Yeah.
So you have the general idea of pushing. And you can get even fancier. For example, one of the exercises that the Griffins do is after you've practiced, is you'll have three or four people poking at your shield and poking at your energy while you're trying to hold it together.
The Griffins, for those who do not know,
are one of the orders within the assembly that focuses on
protective and defensive magic, and cleaning out gunk. That's probably the best technical term for it.
Yes.
There were men in black.
Still need to have you come over to my house. Banish whatever sort of. Space water.
You back. So you get the, so you have the basic idea of what this is about. The idea that you have to lift weight in order to gain strength. And by the way, looking at somebody's aura will not tell you this. So for example, and this is an example I often give. Some people have the capacity to sense or see or in some way make a knowledge of what some, oh, look at that aura, it's so pretty, it's so clear, I see glowy, beautiful colors, and there's no knots of stuff that's not moving, it's beautiful. if you could see the frame of that door, the supporting members behind it, and let's say that you looked at it and the wood was perfectly, imagine this, that it's wood. And they both were straight grains, no knots, no knot holes. Do you know what I mean by that? Mm-hmm. So in your mind, it says, oh, this is good, strong wood. No knot holes, straight grain. Except the one on the left is oak and the one on the right is balsa wood. Based on the criteria of, isn't that a pretty aura? They both look strong. Based on which one of them could I kick down? So, clean, flowing, beautiful, smooth, doesn't say anything about strength.
Quick side. Is seeing auras a can be learned thing, or is it more like I, because of the way I was born, I don't use this eye, I will never be able to, depth perception's never going to happen for me.
Anybody wanna?
You know what, everyone perceives how they perceive, and one sensory modality is not superior to another. I know people who basically are tripping all the time, which is both a good and bad thing. In effect, they see constantly. And then there are people who don't see a damn thing, but they will tune in on something and they will have a words, images, or a knowing of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Or 1,000 other ways to perceive. So it doesn't matter how you perceive.
Okay.
However, whatever you have can always be improved.
But not necessarily swapping modalities.
I believe that all of us are capable of all of them, but whether or not it's worth the trouble to develop certain things. Okay. So as a for example, musical talent. Mm-hmm. Anyone can learn, assuming that their hands work, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a lot of caveats around all of these. Let's say that somebody, I'm going to learn how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano. You know what? If your fingers work, you can learn to play that song. And it may if you have a natural inclination, it will take you less time and less practice. But if you are determined to do so, you're totally going to be able to do it. The question is, was it worth the weeks of effort to learn how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb? So I think all of us have a capacity for all of them, mm-hmm. but there's a diminishing returns for investment of hours thing that goes on. So I always say play to your strengths first, and then once you've developed your strengths, begin to expand into the things that you'd like to develop that aren't your natural forte.
Okay, but it doesn't come from your eyeballs.
Well, yes, so I know. I was just using
none of it comes from your eyeballs.
No, I was just using it as a as a metaphor.
But I'll give you an example of where. It doesn't come from your eyeballs, but you have to be creative. Once upon a time, he's passed away, he's a blessed memory, John Fossbenner was one of the original members of Keepers of the Holy Chalice 1,000 years ago. In coming years, it is virtually 1,000 years. So John was pretty much, he had like full-on color blindness, as in not just red-green, we're talking, he basically saw grayscale.
Wow.
And you could hit any key on the piano, and they all sounded the same to him.
Wow.
And he had no sense of rhythm either.
We caught him.
So now I have, he's lumpy in my head.
Yep.
So
So here's the thing. So John had to do things like imagine tingling, imagine hot, imagine cold.
How do you imagine colors?
Hmm?
How do you imagine colors?
Going up the steps, going down the steps. Mm-hmm. He came up with a variety of different things that were part of his...
You made his own lexicon.
You have to. We all have to.
Because they're all representations.
They're all representations anyway. So you figure out, what do I have to work with and how do I make that work? Now, here's the part where using your physicality to move energy, and then we move on. You have to be careful. So how many of you have yelled or screamed or grunted when you're trying to, you know, open a stuck jar or there's a screw that's rusted frozen and you make some kind of visceral thing to get that extra oomph to get it to move, right?
Yeah.
We've all done some very neuro.
Every time.
When I was powerlifting, it would be the grunt when I would be
yes.
that.
Right.
I need that half
extra,
inch to go down to do a swan doing it.
Right.
900-pound squat.
Right. So you had to get that last little.
And
bit.
It just clears your head.
Okay. So it's a useful trick, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the problem, though. Have any of you done physical activity and suddenly realized, oh damn, I forgot I should be breathing?
Yes.
Right? Or I'm holding my breath and my blood pressure, I'm turning red. My blood pressure is going up because I'm straining and I'm not breathing, right? So here's the thing. When we try to move more energy, it's okay to use the equivalent of a little grunt or shout or inner motion or thing to get you past that step. But people can also develop really bad habits of, if I'm doing, you know, maximum effort, it usually means that I'm not bringing in energy anymore, and I'm straining, and I'm forcing myself to feel something in my body to prove that I'm doing the work. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that, kind of like when you get to the next step and you're trying to push a little harder and do it a little bit more, you can find that you have... So that's a useful tool to use that I need to feel something so that I know that I'm actually pushing harder. But you can get stuck there and actually begin to, oh, I wonder why my neck hurts after ritual, because the whole ritual you were
When I was in that world, you always have a partner.
Yes, a
and
spotter.
And when your partner too. Noticed that you were developing bad habits like not breathing, they would poke you in the middle of doing
right.
it. They would poke
right.
you, and you'd say, "What the f are you doing?" And all of a sudden,
you
were now breathing. And it's like, "Oh, thank you."
Do people forget to breathe? People forget to breathe when they do yoga?
Yeah,
yes,
all the time.
But it helped, and it was.
It's productive ultimately.
Yeah, and you realize that. You're it's almost subconscious the way that you're paying as much attention to what your partner's doing as what you're doing, so
right.
that it becomes symbiotic.
It's useful to have colleagues, friends, spotters to help you with this work, whenever possible. And if you don't, still go ahead and do your exercises, but it's useful to have somebody observing you.
Yeah, this way, you know, you catch those bad habits before they start.
So it's a good idea to have that little, I'm going to make this thing to push a little bit harder, but if you get stuck doing that, then you end up actually potentially hurting yourself and or reducing your capacity to do the work. You get the idea? And also, to prove to you that it's happening. It's not quite the same, but several of you have heard the story, but I'll tell it anyway. So my first formal training was actually in mediumship, which I stopped doing in general, because I didn't want to be a grief counselor, and that was 90% of what people wanted you for.
Yes.
Not my shit.
So
why did you do that? I would have been a social worker. Or a counselor, or whatever. But in one of the weekend intensives that I was at, and I was sat down at a piano, and I was supposed to start, you know, connecting to the spirit of the person who had passed away in the house, and they were a piano player, blah, blah. And I put my fingers on the piano and start talking about the person, and suddenly I had this pain up my left arm and this an elephant on my chest. And oh, did they die of a massive heart attack? Well, yes, just in this room.
So, oh. So, that would have been nice to know.
But no, actually, that was the biggest part of the training, was this.
You can't know ahead of time.
No. That I had fallen into the habit of making sure that I felt something so that I knew that it was real and that I knew that I was tuned in. So then I had to train myself out of the habit so that I could feel a twinge and go, oh, yes, that, the guy had a heart attack, as opposed to I'm dying. So it's also easy to, at the same time, you want to make a connection so that you have some physical awareness when you're doing energy work, because you need to be able to monitor it. I was raised Catholic, so I can say this. It's the same reason why Catholic priests are always happy when the demon shows up in the movies, because if the demon's real, then it means God's real.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
It's negative proof.
It's true. You know it's true.
That was a big lesson for me.
Yeah.
Because once upon a time I was told, sweetheart, understand everything you give power to on the side of light is equally dispersed to that extent on the dark.
Everything balances out in the end. But how you frame it is a different story. But what I'm saying is, on the one hand, you want to develop a connection to feeling, sense, some kind of sensory feedback that you're actually moving the energy, because you should actually feel like you did work if you actually did energy work. But it should be that kind of pleasant kind of, I exerted myself today a little bit, as opposed to, I wrecked myself. And sometimes it becomes a habit of becoming a, if I didn't become a basket case, I just didn't work hard enough that day.
Yeah, it's, in the gym world, it was, you know, pain is the way of your body thanking you.
There should be X amount.
Exactly.
We learned early on that there's only one type of PMS that's acceptable.
Okay.
And that happens in females. And anytime anybody else who develops PMS, you work too hard.
Noted.
PMS is post-exercise muscle soreness.
Oh, okay, thank you.
I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
The rest of us are like...
I knew what you meant, but I was waiting for you to explain.
I know, it's like getting ready to smack.
Yeah. I was trying to know what that energy is.
Feminist is going to hurt really hard.
When do you develop? When you've had just enough damage to convince your physical body or your subtle bodies, I have to get stronger for the next time.
Well, the little micro tears is what, when they reaffirm, how they grow.
And the same is, by the way, the same is true when you do energy work. Your subtle bodies get little micro tears, the equivalent of little micro tears, and they come back stronger.
So
unless you rip them so bad,
then you can't move.
And you need stitches.
There you go. Or a gentleman that I knew was pushing a little bit too hard until the day that he lifted the really heavy thing and tried to do one more rep, and then the tendon snapped, his bicep rolled up like
oh.
a...
Ouch.
I've seen that happen, yeah.
Oh.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's just flying twitches, Mike.
And you'll remember it. And if you don't think that can happen to you energetically, there is someone who, in this case, will remain nameless, who actually had a year's worth of exercises, three-ring binder with exercises, and things that they were supposed to do over the course of the year. And this is how much time you spend with each exercise before moving on to the next. And because they happened to be in between jobs at the time, they decided to do a year's worth of energy exercises in 1 month.
Because no one's ever done that with degree work.
Never.
Ever.
And I get a phone call from them, and they say, it feels like my bone marrow is boiling.
Oh.
It felt to her like her bones were on fire. Because?
Too much oxygen.
You can't do that much. You can't do that much. Your body, your subtle body, also needs recovery time. And we're going to talk more about that. So, yes, push yourself. But, you know, be kind. Shall we do an exercise? So, there's a wood stove over there, which is perfect. Who of you have dealt with a wood stove or a fireplace? Do you know the general principle that you need to have a tall enough chimney, it should be high enough above the roof line, etc., so that there's a good draw? If there's otherwise, there's not enough air that gets pulled up through it to burn it well, especially on days where the barometric pressure is acting funky and smoke just kind of wants to hang right above, right?
Those foggy days.
Yes, yes. And if you don't have enough of a dog, you can't build the fire. Where it back puffs into the house and it's not fun to walk. It's awful. So, everybody has the idea of the central column of energy that follows the spine or some variation thereof, middle pillar, the conduit fruit that chakras are connected to as well, blah, blah, blah. Lots of systems, lots of ways to conceptualize it, central column of energy. Well, if you have a crimp in it, or it's kind of clogged in a few places, you flow less capacity, right? Mm-hmm. Or if it's contracted, hasn't been stretched out in a long time, it's like breathing to it through a, those of us who have asthma, it's like breathing through a drink straw at the bar instead of... so that you don't have as much access. So one of the things, it doesn't matter how strong you are, if you actually have a very low capacity for flow because of congestion or clamping, et cetera, right? Well, how do you do that? You stretch out. Well, how am I going to stretch that out? Okay, here's the simplest way that I've come up with. You can do it with two people. You can do it with three people. Yes, there's a solo variation because I'm trying to be mindful of not everybody has access to friends to work with. But here's what you do. The person stands or sits. And they open up their feet, their crown, they connect to it from the above and below. You can do the grounding and centering thing if you like, or just view yourself as a conduit between the above and the below, right? And they start moving energy. Well, that's great, but you're only going to move as much as you're already comfortable moving for the most part. You might be able to rattle loose a little bit of the carbon, but that's about it, right? Okay, so what you then do is you get two other people. And height matters, or reach matters, so that one person will stand above and reach their hands upwards and actually be either, if the energy is going ground to sky, they're pulling and pushing up. If it's going from ground to earth, they're pulling down. And you have a person at the person's feet. So you basically set a person at the feet and at the crown to assist in the flow. Basically, you're doing a ramjet.
A ramjet.
So do you go... But are the top and bottom going in the same direction?
Yes,
because
yes.
Otherwise it's like magical rack.
Ideally, you do one direction and then the other direction, because sometimes you encounter problems in one direction that aren't there in the other direction. So basically, you have two people, ideally, though one person will do, assisting to increase the volume and velocity of the flow through the central column. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a difference with velocity but viscosity?
Yes. Though most times, that's not something you notice initially when you're using this exercise. That's really about the kind of energy the person's selecting to tune into. Now, this is one where talking is necessary, mm-hmm. and hand signals. It's like, because at some point, the person who is getting the assist is going to say, stop. and when they say stop, you stop.
Red.
When they,
yeah. No, it's not.
I'm going to say artichoke.
Kind of, but yes. Well, I just
years ago, the one that was always a dead stop is Jesse Helms.
That works.
I could do it.
Mitch McConnell, you know?
Oh! Queen of England?
Wouldn't that stop?
Yeah, no. Heart shrivel up, just.
Retreat,
Englishman.
Exactly. So we need a couple of people willing to attempt this. All right. Do we have? If we have several. We have enough room to arrange.
Okay.
We have several people doing this simultaneously. Whoever wants.
Power.
So you just need to determine. And you can swap out roles. Which direction you're going in? Who's getting the assist? Who's doing the above and below? Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can come on, Bob.
Sure, I'll sit. Mm.
I find it useful to start the energy flow by ohming, but you don't need to. You can just decide what you're going to do.
Are we going up? Are we going down?
You can all take turns, so you don't have to worry.
I feel better from.
I was
going to
say, don't
make a
normal
here
the
head.
She's like, I'm getting out of your face. Good idea.
No soul.
Good.
And by the way, for people who have knees that don't want to go down, you can always lean your hand towards
and
it
I have to
push
tell you
that
you,
way.
That is an ugly monkey.
Feels kind of slow and dribbly.
And those of you that want to try to sense, pay attention to what they're doing. You find it easier to do gentle motions with your hands to pull the energy down or up. That's helpful. If you need to periodically tone to retune in, that's okay as well. And remember, the person who's receiving the assistance needs to let people know when to start and stop. Y'all are being really gentle.
All right, here we go. Turn around.
I'm trying to like grab at the end of hers, but she's so far up.
No, just grab
push.
From the
feet. No, push from the push. From the pretend you're pretending that you're pushing those feet deep into the earth. But the energy is going from those feet deep into the earth. You're how about this?
Right?
The bigger the distance from the top to the bottom, the natural polarity increases between above and below. Occasionally, when people actually crank up to move more energy, the person will feel the equivalent of a stitch in their side, where they'll feel some kind of physical discomfort because it's pushing hard. Same rule that I would apply to exercise. A little bit of discomfort's okay, a lot of discomfort is not. So the person receiving the assistance needs to decide if that's still a comfortable place.
How do you keep it from going down here instead of down there?
Envision that you're holding a funnel. And pushing, or are you pushing or pulling? Is she going up or down?
She's going down.
That's what I
thought. We're going up now. That's why we have to go the other way.
Oh, we're going against each other.
Yes.
Communication.
You
feel
like
communication.
You feel like communication.
And the woman in the. All right, we're taking it from Fairwicks. Everyone knows me.
You
see feel this the energy coming out.
Streamer coming out of the top of your head.
Well, now you're sending. Nope.
It's I can't wait.
Yes.
Oh, faithful.
Because otherwise it's still being regulated
through
you.
Nice
you
got it.
Which is okay in some cases, but you want her to learn regulation, not you, not rely on.
Cool.
It's like, I can tell when I get prepared with stuff because my hands do this.
Is anybody else going to try it? If not, that's cool, but I need to know if there's another. Or if you want to swap roles.
That's right.
Those of you that are assisting may wish to tone or crank up your own energy a little bit more.
Okay.
Ground is a lot harder for me energy-wise.
If I did picture the maple, picture it coming down and going through the ground and coming up through your core.
Yeah.
Just imagine your big electric wand.
Sometimes there's the psychology of remembering that just because we're inside a building doesn't mean that we're limited to the ceiling or the floor that we see. Doggy parasympathetic system.
And reverse.
I hate you.
And when this set is done, we'll need to move on.
It's like, it's almost like you opened a well cover and it just drops all the shit down.
Like, physically?
So I just can't, like, it takes me forever to seek, like, any time I ground the trigger to root and pull up, so.
I got a suggestion for that. Yes?
So next time you poke me in the middle of
virtual.
Yeah.
There is, so
there's
a
lot of paint. I said her, Howard suggestion
that she has a hard time when she's
I know, that's just that I'm afraid of making a fire, or I don't know what it is, because I just can't run. I would think that it's like to let, can be a baby.
Or is it, can there's a girl too?
Don't try to take all of your energy.
Stomach issues.
Yeah.
How'd you know?
Because you felt it in that process.
So I don't, I wouldn't join the healers group to do that. Because, you know, 10 people and that's a lot of stuff. I don't keep it,
but still,
I feel it.
You feel it.
Guys, we need to wrap up. Any questions or any experiences you want to share? Side conversation, the person who is standing receiving the assistance, if they find that it would be helpful, if they chant, tone, or engage in a more active way while they're receiving the assist, they're more likely to receive benefit because they're therefore feeling like they are more active and more in control of the process. Maybe you report?
I think I got really clear that it's important to have that channel going all the way down, and mm-hmm. because I felt very unbalanced going just one way.
Yes.
And then I could feel myself kind of floating.
Yep.
And then wanting to have that yep. groundedness
yep.
of wanting, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go the other direction because mm-hmm. I need to be put back into my body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ideally, you do a complete set up and down, and each person has a chance to do so if they so desire. There's one other thing. Who here has worn cleats or special shoes when the weather is icy?
Oh,
yeah. Or the right tires when the weather is... Why? Why do you need those things?
Grip.
Okay, you need to have grip, you need traction. You need to have purchase. Do you know that term?
Yeah.
Purchase is in the sense of having capacity to stay so you can push against and pull and right having actual contact and connection, right? So when in this exercise, but also in some other things, there are times that you don't have enough purchase. So here's what I'm going to suggest you do. This is not the same as the kind of grounding and centering that we talk about for a variety of things. But from the soles of your feet, you've got a little chakra point there, kind of similar to the one in the palm of your hand, right? Mm-hmm. From your 2 feet, imagine, you know those screws that you screw, earth screws that you screw into the ground to anchor something down?
An auger.
Well, an auger, or they have them for anchoring, tents or sheds, temporary structures. Imagine that you are ascending counterclockwise, 2 screws from your feet into the ground. The color I prefer is a red-orange. You can pick whatever color symbol is that makes sense to you. But imagine that you are ascending 2 augers, 2 anchors from those chakras in your feet into the ground. That will not ground you in the sense of altering your energy, but it will keep you more solidly together as a unit of subtle bodies.
And why counter?
Hmm?
Why counter?
So you actually want to connect to Earth, and counterclockwise is the descending force. Clockwise is often the rising force.
Connection. So is that why when we do our castings, we go counter to receive the energy into the circle and clockwise to release it?
In many cases, yes. The clockwise and counterclockwise are relational and have different meanings, different contexts. But yes to that question. But in this case, it's because the energy tends to descend counterclockwise more easily.
Okay.
But basically what you're doing is you're anchoring your subtle bodies because your anchor in your physical body and all your subtle bodies, so they are not buffeted as much by intense energy or physical activity or subtle activity. You get the idea? I often teach that as part of the weather magic class I do, because sometimes when you're trying, I found that sometimes people have a tendency to lose their balance and fall over during some of the exercises, because you're engaging with a larger energy structure than you normally engage with, so it's better to be back moved down.
Especially when you're trying to make yourself 5 miles tall.
Well, there is that too.
Yeah.
So try that as well as a way of anchoring yourself better to connect to energy. Make sense?
Time-wise? Shall we do one more thing?
Yes, one more thing.
So,
flexibility. Here's the real thing about flexibility. Flexibility is not how far can you stretch. How far can you stretch and come back in one piece?
Right?
How far can you bend before you break?
Because if you imagine that, now you've all probably been taught that the closer into the physical body, the denser the energy, the denser the subtle matter, so that when you get to the etheric body, it's almost like rubber or latex, so that it's very clingy and it tends to look like the shape of your body.
Your energetic wetsuit.
Yes, your energetic wetsuit up to a point. And then the further out you go, the more rounded they get, until the outermost layers are more like an egg or a sphere or a variety of shapes, depending on what you're actually doing that day. Well, most of the useful magic requires the lower bodies. The higher bodies, the more ethereal, more subtle bodies, are great for communication, great for sensing things at a great distance, etc., etc. But if you're actually trying to cause magical change or healing change, it tends to be the denser stuff, closer to the physical. And those don't have as much natural stretch to them. So just like the physical body, you need to stretch and maintain stretch. I will say one good thing about the way that time and matter or subtle matter works in the other planes. On the physical plane, how quickly do you begin to lose muscle strength or physical flexibility, say if you're in bed for
24 hours
is in of immobility, and muscle atrophy and tightening begins to set in.
Wow.
Yep.
24 hours. So, yeah. Yeah, which is why you have to do things regularly, or else you lose capacity.
Or worse, if you just exercise a lot and have lactic acid.
Lactic acid. Which is great in cheese, but...
So I imagine magically if you just did something.
Not in your muscles. So, but let's do the stretching, because we're talking about flexibility. So the problem is, if you bend past a certain point that is actually what you're actually capable of doing, or something pushes you or pulls you past that point, you're going to get connective tissue tear or stretches that don't spring back, and that's bad.
Owies.
So you do those regularly. Now, the good thing is that with anything to do with subtle bodies, unlike the physical body that in 24 hours begins to rot from inactivity, because time functions differently and subtle matter is different, you actually get more leeway. So you can get away with weeks of magical inactivity without losing too much of your capability. So you have a longer grace period, let's call it that. But the difference is that, I can do things like touch my toes, and I can do other kinds of stretches and to maintain that. Well, how do you do that with your subtle bodies in a way that is actually not fooling yourself? Because here's what the problem is. So I will use something yummy. I'll use the strawberry. So, all right, so I'm holding the strawberry, and this is actually the lead into the exercise. Find a small object, preferably something that is not actually a living being, like don't do this with your cat, don't do this with your don't do this with your African violet, don't do this with a living thing.
A strawberry?
Well, this is no longer. It's no longer attached to it to plant. It has, and it's
right.
It is not a living being. It is a part of a living being. But its intention is to.
Rabbit's foot, not the rabbit.
It's already cut off.
Yeah.
And mounted. So you take a physical object and you feel it. So that you actually feel the texture of it, because this is about paying attention to, and you feel what the energy is like, etc. So that I can imagine now, you know, what this feels like. And if I put it down and I gently, slowly pull my fingers away from it, but I imagine that I am still touching it, that I am still in contact with it, that I am still feeling little minute little nubbles, feeling the tiny little places where the seeds are, feeling the energy that is resident in that, and I can still feel it. Now, at some point, if I keep going backwards and backwards, I'm going to stop feeling it. At which point, I take a step back in until I can feel it again. Here's the problem. Those of you that are visual sensors or good at perceiving, there's a difference between looking at the moon and touching the moon. And you can convince yourself, I'm still touching it, but I'm asking, can you actually still feel the sensation on your fingertips? The minute you stop feeling sensation, you move back in. And what we're doing is we're stretching the densest, the etheric layer, until we can no longer feel it, getting back in range, and doing it again. And you, at first it's going to be very, very close, and then eventually it will be, the object can be on the other side of the room, and you can still feel like you can touch it. You can still feel like you can connect with it. Do you get the idea?
Flirting. You're good at it.
There's lots of ways to flirt.
Energetically
flirting. I can think of at least one unethical magic one I did in my 20s. So by the way, still being in contact with the object also means that you can still affect its energy. Because the other thing is that something which is actually in your energetic grasp, you can still work with. Like, I remember years ago, we were visiting a ill relative that was ill, and Jim's sister was with us, and she's very psychically talented, and was one of the first people to actually get a Reiki initiation in the United States. She flew to Hawaii. Yeah, she flew to Hawaii to get trained back in the day. And there, you know, the person was in bed. And she was working on the person, and I'm like sitting on the other side of the room, and she finally like her head jerked around and said, are you working on this person too? Ah! Well, yes, I am. Because if you can still feel the touch at the etheric level, it's the equivalent of actually being in physical touch with them. So it's a question of how much flexibility you build up, so you can modify the energy to the point that your dense energy can actually go much further. There is a limit. I can't do it further than, for, you know, like that Reiki healing that she was doing, the energy work I was doing. I can't do any further than the opposite side of the room. There is a limit to which, just like no matter how much exercise you do, how diligent you are with your stretching exercises, there is actually a limit to what you can actually stretch to, right?
I have something to teach you later.
I can stretch a lot of things really far, but
internet.
Oh well, no. You cannot do certain things from a distance.
There's certain things you can that are.
There are many things you can send energy. You can send packets of energy forms. You can do 1,001 things at a great distance. But so, for example, I do not believe it's possible to do an initiation at a distance.
But you could feel energies through the computer.
You could feel
the electronics generate energy. It's an energy multiplier.
We send physical items to the person.
You can send physical items to the person. There's a variety of things you can do for distance work, but there are some things that are only doable in physical proximity or within the range of that person's stretch. But there's a lot of things that don't require that contact. However, if you stretch your etheric body, it also increases the flexibility of all your cell bodies, because that's the tightest one. You get the idea? That's the one that's the hitching point. So that if you can... The etheric body is the tightest one. It's the least flexible. So that if you can increase the flexibility of that one, it frees up all the other ones to move further
act at a greater distance.
And that's the wetsuit?
Yeah, the wetsuit. The one that is referred to as the one that sticks flesh to bone. Uh-huh. It's the assembly line of the body.
It still maintains an ego shape.
Well, a lot of healing is a lot of quick healing is about changing the shape of the etheric. Mm. Like staunching blood or that kind of stuff is about changing the shape of the etheric.
How about like sending out ectoplasm or telekinesis or things like that?
Well, that requires you using your direct and indirect. Ectoplasm is a real thing.
Yeah.
And under the right circumstances, I've been known to produce it, like at your third degree.
Well,
but
I guess I didn't catch that.
Picture of slime.
Slime, yes. But the thing is that there is direct telekinesis where you can cause minor motion using your etheric body, and there's stuff that is. The equivalent of telekinesis, where you engage other forces and other beings to actually do the moving for you, which may look the same, but is not actually the same principle and operates differently.
Yeah. It's the form is only good for like dice.
So is that kind of like using the chalice to do the healing work?
That's a different thing altogether.
Okay.
So, side note on healing stuff: a lot of times when you're doing healing, all you're doing is reminding the body to return to its proper pattern, and that's an informational exchange, not a connection.
Really
to remind
part
the person what the healing body is, you would only envision them as healed.
Well, that's a starting point, but there are many more things beyond that can be done. The thing about using energy directly is like if there's a bruise, if there's a burn, if there's a cut, if you're trying to stop bleeding, you're right in front of the person. You have to do something more to remind the body, because the body will do it, but it will take too long for that purpose in the moment. So, but that's a different kind of action. Anyway, but back to flexibility. The goal is to build up flexibility. So pick some objects and start working with them. Aim to see how far away you can go, and test yourself as to whether or not you're truly still in contact energetically. Once you've done this for a while and feel confident, then if you have a person in your life who's willing to be guinea pig, then do the touch the person's hand, move to the other side, walk to the other side of the room, and yes. And say, and don't say anything, don't signal anything, don't have a tell, but see if they can feel you tap when you're actually tapping.
I used to do this in school to try and make people like itch their ears. And things. We've been practicing that forever.
So the unethical something I did in my early 20s. Is you press on their bladder, so we have to get them the bathroom line so you can chat them up in the line. Hey, work.
Works better for women because the line is longer.
Oh, it depends on what kind of places you go to.
Yeah, right. You're going to the bathroom.
True. So say you have those kind of ties or those kind of bonds with multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a point in which that unhealthy where
you don't want to, you're not making a bond with them. You're just learning how to stretch your energy, and you're basically doing the equivalent of moving your energy hand to just lay on their other hand on the other side of the room. You are not forging a connection with them.
And say you pick up something that's negative, or you're putting yourself at risk to a certain extent of.
Every time you're sitting next to anybody, you're putting yourself at risk.
Mm-hmm.
If you take public transportation, if you walk down the street, if you go to. Here's the thing. Energy management is also about developing the confidence to know that your system is going to reject that which is not good for it. I always give the example of just because somebody sneezes in the room doesn't mean everybody gets a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Because ideally you have a strong enough constitution that your body's going to go, not today. Now, there are some things that are strong enough that all of us are going to, So there is no such thing as the perfect protection. But the goal is to, and the more aware you are, the more you'll be able to say, back off, I don't want that.
Practice
practice.
Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I would not recommend skimming energy and Pantheon for your use unless you're really good at
Lysoling it.
Yeah.
You know the life straw?
Yeah.
Good image. All right, so are we taking a break?
Yeah, lunchtime. How long?
Until people feel fed and ready to start talking again, because there's a lot to cover. So maybe half an hour?
45 minutes?
All right, 45
minutes.
I have a question.